Item number four, report by regional board members. And I thought we would report on the WQCC mainly for Monica's benefit because she wasn't there and the rest of us were. Would anyone like to share with Monica publicly kind of their reactions to the WQCC, kind of what they picked up, what they thought was important?
Well, okay. Mr. Chair, I'll kick it off.
Okay, go ahead, Russ.
I thought it was extremely interesting, and I've been on the board for 20 years plus, and I've been to many of these WQCC meetings. I thought this is probably one of the most interesting ones and probably one of the best orchestrated ones and speakers that made their presentations on the different subjects. I thought it was really interesting to me personally because of the topics that they picked that were, I think, pertinent to this region, and they were well explained and presented very, very well. And I'm sorry Monica wasn't there because I'm sure she would have enjoyed every bit of it as much as I had. So I thought overall it was a fantastic WQCC meeting.
Mr. Jordan?
I'd just like to also add that you tend to get wrapped up in these two binders worth of paperwork that you bring every couple months or so. And it was really nice on the second day to get that presentation on social justice. We get wrapped up in procedure and economy and process and guys who have advanced degrees figuring out things, but that presentation on social justice was a really nice grounding moment to really bring it back to some of the core reasons of what really needs to take place and why we're struggling at this daily. And I think that could be a subject that is brought up more often or once a year locally even or region at the region level because it just seems so valuable to hear that message again.
Yeah. Bruce, go ahead.
Yeah, basically, for those who weren't there, it was a two-day workshop, and the first day focused on climate change issues, lots of presentations. Second day focused on environmental justice, and for anyone that wasn't there, it was well supported by really well put together PowerPoints, which I assume are available to anyone that,
yes.
So Monica and anyone else, seeing the PowerPoints would go a great distance to getting the concepts. And I was impressed on day one by what seems like we all are aware that we might be facing a long emergency of what happens with climate change. And I think that with all the water boards there in one place and others from the community, understanding that, it's good, and I'm sure we'll be inundated with that for years to come, but it's nice to get that one day there. And the environmental justice, for me, the highlight was having Horacio there from San Gerardo to see exactly, not exactly, but to get a better feel for what's going on a sort of a person-to-person level. It was a really good addition to that. So thanks.
I think that was a very moving moment with Horacio when he spoke. And, Monica, it really, as Mike Jordan said, it really drove home the point of kind of what we're supposed to be doing, and protecting the public's beneficial uses, drinking water, things of that nature. And he spoke so well. I mean, it was the best presentation I've heard Horacio give yet in all the times he's come before the board. It's almost like every word was well chosen and spoken, and his message, you could hear a pin drop in the room. So that was wonderful. And then the climate change presentations were really well done, very organized. There were Dr. Somerville, I think, was his name from Scripps Institute of Oceanography, gave the overall perspective on climate change, what the facts are supporting it, and then it got into speakers who got into some of the details. And I thought what was really interesting was the speaker from UCLA, a research professor who's been modeling the Los Angeles Basin area and kind of creating a topographic map in a way in contours, but with the potential increases in temperature that could be seen in the different microclimate regions throughout the LA basin. And I thought that was eye-opening. I think for the water boards, probably the main issue we'll be grappling with is sea level rise and how that's going to affect the placement of facilities that we regulate.
So, if I could comment, and I do regret missing WQCC because I do find it extremely rewarding and important opportunity to hear from the other regions and to see, you know, where we have common issues and how we're addressing those issues. But specifically to climate change, I'm aware that in our region, Santa Cruz, the city of Santa Cruz actually has a staff person, if not a team, looking at sea level rise. And as far as I know, that is one of the few coastal cities that is actually taking this on in a long-term strategy planning and looking at resources and linking in. And I think, you know, across the country, I think California probably is one of those states is taking more seriously. And I think on a side note, I would say that I heard the treasurer for the state of California discuss the strategy that the state has in investing its pension fund and some of the other large funds that they manage. And they are working in partnership with many of the leading insurance in the insurance industry to, as a partner, walk into these large industrial, you know, kind of different areas of industry where we would invest our money as the state of California, walk in with the insurance industry to say, what are you doing to plan for climate change? And looking at that as part of the portfolio and criteria for the strategy in the long term. So I think California is very impressive. I think we have a lot of influence on how climate change issues are being addressed. And from an economic standpoint, I was really very beyond impressed. I mean, I felt like this had such substance to it. And it was gratifying to hear that, you know, we're taking this very seriously. And, of course, we know Governor Brown did take some action as the Attorney General and began to take seriously greenhouse gas issues. So I regret not being there, but I do, I will continue to look at the materials. They're all available for anybody that wants to look at it.
Yeah. And Dr. Wolf, aren't the materials available? Were you trying to?
Yeah, the material is available online on the State Water Board website, so, and the PowerPoint presentations are available. And just as a little additional supplemental comment, the insurance industry is already looking at climate change and the impact on their risk management in their portfolio. That's taking place as we speak with the major underwriters for all the various large infrastructures that they're insuring. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Johnston.
Yeah, without duplicating what anyone else has said, a couple of things that struck me were I was struck by the just listening to the variety of departments represented in the speakers to us by how broadly the state government has taken the mandate to consider climate change in every aspect of their operations. Secondly, I was struck by a couple of the presentations in terms of sea level rise, and I mean, of course, we have the issue of siting of sewage treatment plants, as was mentioned, but also the impact of both sea level rise and ocean temperature on the dynamics within estuaries, and also the impact of sea level rise on saltwater intrusion, which was simply not something that had occurred to me and is clearly a problem throughout our region.
Yeah.
Finally, I was struck by on the second day, which was focused on disadvantaged communities, environmental justice, the fact that, you know, we have almost no grasp even of what Native American tribes are in our region, and we talked about it afterwards, and I think we're working on really nailing that down, particularly because there's a number of tribes that are I don't know what the legal term is, unrecognized. So those were some impressions that other people hadn't mentioned.
Okay. Anyone else want to weigh in? Dr. Hunter?
Thank you. I want to briefly update the board and those here today on the effort of the Governor's Drinking Water Stakeholder Group. We have been working. This is something Chair Young asked me to participate in, as well as Michael Johnson. And in the most recent effort, we split up into different groups, and so Michael has been working on a different aspect. But I joined in with the data collection group to understand the issues related to systems that serve communities or rural residents of less than 15 connections, which fall below the level of regulation or oversight for public health. And so often these communities are exposed to contaminated drinking water, largely nitrates, but other contaminants. And so our process was to consider what actions could be taken, both short-term and long-term, to begin to define where the problems exist. And so the approach we took was to identify the different agencies that collect well data, what the frequency of collection is, estimate how many wells within our region, and then look at how that data is archived or managed, what access public has to it, and as well as how that data is used, and then if the data is actually submitted or connected to any of the state water board or public health databases. So we felt that that would be a good way to understand where the gaps might be, and we also considered what funding sources, how sustainable are these systems. Some of the systems, it turns out, are just still in the hard paper submittal stage, which makes it very difficult to compile any kind of significant database. So we're looking at it for the Salinas Valley and the Tulare Valley, and we've submitted a work plan that outlines some steps that we feel are doable in terms of coordinating with the agencies that have this data and look at what steps and what funding, what technology is going to be essential to collating this data, and it essentially being efficient and smart about what we already know but connecting the dots. And so I'm very pleased to be involved with that, and I want to thank Matt Keeley for his work, which became very substantive and, in fact, became the attachment to it, which defines many of the regulations and health and safety code language. So he provided us with a real technical basis for where and how water quality for drinking water, for consumption of drinking water, is regulated. So we're at a stage where we're at the final draft, and we'll be submitting it to the governor's office. And so far we've seen good response with earlier work, and we anticipate that this is something the governor has prioritized under safe drinking water issues. And so I'm very determined, you know, to continue my involvement to the extent that I can. And support this effort. It has a good stakeholder base to it, and as the one of the agencies participating, we're working with the environmental justice groups, and particularly focused on disadvantaged communities.
Thank you. Okay, moving right along. I'll go ahead, Dr. Wolf.
Joe, thank you very much. I'll be very brief. Just a little board updates is a couple of weeks ago, I participated at the Sustainable Agriculture Expo and Conference in San Luis Obispo. I was the moderator for the nitrate section, and I was there representing myself as a grape grower. Also, I hosted a week ago a workshop on climate adaptation. This is part of a grant from CDFA for 12 workshops throughout California to look at what the transition can be from recognizing climate change, but what are the adaptation techniques in terms of agriculture. This program was aimed specifically for the engineers of an RCS and the RCDs, and we had a full house. And then lastly, I just want to mention that tomorrow the Coastal San Luis RCD will celebrate its 60th anniversary here in town. Thank you.
Okay.